This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Luka driving, scores again. 45 for Luka. Timeout, Dallas. And the Lakers embrace Luka at half court, and he gets a standing ovation from the fans here in Dallas. And we'll keep it here so you guys can hear this. This is really cool. Every fan in a visiting arena is on their feet applauding Luka.
That's courtesy of John Ireland, Lakers Radio Network. Is it really cool? Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie's on vacation. EJ Stewart filling in. Is it cool? Is it cool that the Dallas Maverick fans were cheering every time Luka touched the ball, that they are all in on their former star while their team is going to be very lucky to get out of the play-in? They are now the number 10 seed in the West. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. If this was Philly, they would not be cheering. I guess.
Really?
I know. They don't cheer anybody. Are you kidding me? They don't even cheer their own stars. But there is something a little weird about a guy leaves via trade and you're cheering every time he touches the ball. Like, this is not the way it's supposed to happen.
No, but in some ways, I think this is a great thing about sports, right? Because we talk about how much these players, it feels like, oh, they're making so much money. They don't really care. They don't really care about the city they're in, the franchise they play for. That is clearly not the case with Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. Right? We saw how emotional he was sitting on the bench watching those great moments in the tribute video. We saw how much that connection with the Dallas fans affected him and affected the Mavericks fans. This is not a typical superstar gets traded and gets about where he went. This is a love affair that was real, which makes it even more bizarre that they made this trade, right? Like, I think there were some rumblings that, hey, maybe Luka's not too happy with some of the direction and he could be a little moody. But, I mean, all that stuff, you have to throw that out the window. Clearly, this is not a place he ever wanted to leave because of how he acted, and the fans showed him that love. So I actually did think it was cool.
Yeah, you know what? You convinced me. That is kind of cool. There was also seconds into the game, literally seconds, not even minutes, a Fire Nico chant. Nico Harrison, the Mavericks GM who made the trade, we've been debating all show, will it go down possibly? I mean, it's possible that this could be the worst trade in NBA history. A lot of people have brought up Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Bucks to the Lakers. There's my Sixers gave up Moses Malone to the Washington, then bullets for Jeff Ruland. You had a fun one from the chat, Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube chat, involving Moses Malone as well.
Yeah, because I think, you know, for Sixers fans, you guys, you're talking about the negative, yeah. But you forgot the positive, right? That yeah. The Sixers traded for Moses Malone, who was the MVP of the league, mm-hmm. playing for the Houston Rockets, took the Rockets to a championship, faced the Celtics, took them to six games. Rockets needed to save money, so they traded Moses Malone in the prime of his career, got back Caldwell Jones, and a future first-round pick that ended up being Rodney McRae.
That's a great one. Now, a lot of times NBA guys leave as free agents. LeBron was never traded, correct?
It was. I think technically they made it a sign and trade just okay. to help out Cleveland, but it was not really a trade.
And Shaq was not the original Shaq deal from Orlando to L.A. He was a free agent.
That was
right?
a free agency.
So because there are these really moments in the NBA where superstars change the course of the league.
Yep.
Wilt Chamberlain goes leave Philly for L.A. And I think Luka is right in that conversation. The question is, will he win a title? I think the Mavs better be praying he does not. But it could happen. You even think it could happen this year, EJ?
I do. I mean, I look at this Laker team, and a lot of it is because of the fit between Luka and LeBron. Because I think that was the only thing that I, for the Lakers, you looked at and said, okay, like, how does this actually work? Because in some ways, Luka and LeBron are actually really similar. They're both, like, point
yeah.
forwards.
Tall. They have similar skill sets.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, can these guys work together? But in some ways, I think Luka has actually helped LeBron so much because LeBron now doesn't have to carry so much of the load for so long in the game. He can do what he did last night, which is he can kind of pace himself, let Luka score 35, 40 points. And then once Luka starts to wear down a little bit towards the end of the game, he can say, all right, it's time for me to go. Dallas is taking the lead. He can go on his own 9-0, 11-0 run and just put the game away. And that's if you're talking about these playoff teams, that's a dangerous thing that you got to deal with Luka Doncic for three quarters and then you got the King waiting for you and he's fresh. That's not a good sign for the rest of the league.
My concern with the Lakers and Luka is the cold shooting. Luka will have a 1-for-10 from three. It'll just and if it's at the wrong night in a big game where Luka, when his three's dropping, forget it. He's impossible. When it's not, but there are games where it's not dropping. So we'll see. Obviously, I think Oklahoma City Thunder are looming, and they can defend those guys probably better than anyone else out there. Got a lot of wing defenders. Yep. But the topic of the day is the history of bad trades around sports, not just NBA, MLB, NFL, hockey. If you can think of a soccer one, we want to hear about it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Derek in Baltimore. Derek, what do you got for bad trades?
Man, a bad trade is, how about Washington? Would they trade like their entire draft pick to the Rams to get RG3?
Yeah, they gave up a lot. I was just watching the movie Draft Day, and they talked about that trade. But RG3 was Rookie of the Year. He was sensational. At the moment, it looked like a great trade.
Yeah, but it was literally 1 year. After that 1 year, that was it. And one of those draft picks for the Rams ended up being Aaron Donald.
Oh, you didn't have to tell us that. That hurts.
Yeah, they ended up turning them draft picks into like three or four other really good players. But Aaron Donald was one of those players. And like I said, if RG3 would have lasted maybe three or four good years, then it maybe wouldn't have been a bad trade. But you traded like five picks for essentially 1 year. After that hit against the Ravens, his knee was done, and that was a wrap.
But that was, you know what? Washington brought that on themselves, though, Derek, because the field was bad in the playoff game. He was already partly hurt. Shouldn't have been out there. That is their fault. And I got to be honest, they probably, the way the franchise was run under Daniel Snyder, they would have ruined Aaron Donald too.
Hey, no lie about that, man. Good Lord.
Yeah, Derek, I don't know which team you root for, but you got to be happy now if you're a Washington fan.
Well, I'm a Niner fan. So
okay.
If a worse trade for me personally as a Niner fan, it would have to be the Trey Lance trade. Even though quarterback-wise it didn't hurt us, but giving up all those picks for a guy that had no business being in the NFL at that time, that was terrible.
What about the are you a longtime Niner fan? What do you think of trading Joe Montana to the Chiefs?
Now, see, I wasn't watching football then.
Okay.
I heard about it. That was in '93, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so I really don't know much because I wasn't watching football then, but no. In hindsight, I mean, you look at what Steve Young did, MVP, and won the Super Bowl. So that kind of worked out for both. But you know, a bad trade is like good for one team and terrible for the next. And
yeah,
that Trey Lance trade up. Oh my God, that was, I have no idea who co-signed on that, because I thought he was going to take Mac Jones.
Yeah.
That, at some point, that has to be a documentary, a 50-50 yeah. on who decided Trey Lance at three was the guy.
But Shanahan changes his mind on quarterbacks, and which, by the way, I'm curious to see how long he's in love with Brock Purdy. Thank you, Derek, for the call. I appreciate that. EJ, you had a great point. The fact that the Niners found Brock Purdy is the only reason that this might not go in the list of bad trades.
Right. It's the idea of, like, what happened to the team in terms of, like, did they suffer? And I don't think you can say that they suffered. Just quickly on Aaron Donald, he was one of the draft picks in the next year, but he actually wasn't the pick
okay.
that they used. It was a Greg Robinson, but he was in that same draft. Maybe they take Aaron Donald at two. I don't think so. But either way, that's the one thing is sometimes I feel like with a trade, you have to see the dividends on both sides.
Mm.
Like, I think with the Rams, you would have had to have seen them take this massive step up immediately. And remember, those were the Jeff Fisher years. Like,
yeah.
they were awful. Like, they were kind of middling in the middle of nowhere.
Jeff Fisher, 8-8 all
right?
the time.
So I think when you're talking about the worst trades of all time, well, I think it does qualify. Even though RG3 got hurt, you got to see the other team really thrive. And I don't know if you saw that with the Rams.
I brought up the Joe Montana trade. The flip side, they fleeced the Bucks. Second round and fourth round pick for Steve Young in 1987. Now, at the time, Steve Young wasn't good, but that worked out pretty well for the Niners. Let's go to Keith in Missouri. Keith, what do you got for a bad all-time trade?
Well, I'm a 49ers fan, too.
Okay.
So I was thinking of trading Charles Haley to the Cowboys. You know, they just won a couple of Super Bowls, and then he goes over there and leads their defense. They win a couple more, beating the 49ers
yeah.
to get to those, so... That would have that one and the Joe Montana would have been the top two for me, because, like you said, Trey Lance didn't really miss it that much, because you already had a quarterback that was playing, and then you got another one that came in and did just as good as he did. So
now, Keith, I don't know the backstory, but I'm assuming Charles Haley was temperamental at the time. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I think that he was a lot to handle.
Yeah. And well, they shouldn't have got rid of Joe, and then that would have might have helped.
Yeah, it's a good point. And obviously, Bill Walsh. Thank you, Keith, for the call. Bill Walsh was gone at that point. Man, Haley was a baller, but he was terrifying. As an Eagles fan, you could see him on the sideline. He just looked angry all the time.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is watching these old NFL films, videos, or shows, and talking about kind of like that era. And Charles Haley and the character that he was, like, the Niners have this dynasty, and they're trying to see what the next phase is post Joe Montana, and they ship out Charles Haley because he was such a malcontent and such a loose cannon. They send him to Dallas to go with a bunch of other loose cannons and stuff. But I don't think they realized that they were really helping their arch rival that was going to be kind of the rivalry of the 90s. Like, mm-hmm. they were going to have to deal with Charles Haley in big games, and he gave them problems. He gave everybody problems as the Cowboys really began that and started that dynasty with Jimmy Johnson. But yeah, that was also one of those crazy trades. The Niners and Cowboys have a weird thing going on.
Dion
as well. A lot of guys went back and forth.
So Charles Haley gave an interview recently, by the way. I think he probably got a bad rap as a bad character, and he was thoughtful and interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? I think, who knows? He was a young man, and it was part of his game, too. He had to be angry to be effective.
Oh, yeah.
And also, he's talked about mental health issues, so... Charles Haley, I think, did he make the Hall of Fame? I think he made it recently.
If he isn't, he should be there, in my opinion.
Let's go to Dominic in San Francisco. Dominic, what is your bad all-time trade?
Hey, thanks for taking my call yet again. It all depends on what your definition of bad is,
okay.
not to quote Bill Clinton. But my opinion, the all-time worst trade borders on blasphemy, is when the San Francisco Giants traded Willie Mays to the New York Mets for some pitcher named Charlie Williams and $50,000.
Yeah, but Willie Mays was at the end, wasn't he?
He was terrible for the Mets.
No, that's why I prefaced it with it all depends on what you do. Willie Mays was you don't trade Willie Mays for $50,000. You just don't.
Yeah, it was the wrong thing to do. That's a different category, though, Dominic.
It was the wrong thing.
It's a bit of a different category.
Pardon me?
It's a bit of a different category, though, because then you're saying, hold on to the guy.
Would you consider that a good trade?
No.
Would you consider that a good trade? Well, then it's a bad trade.
All right, fair enough. You know, your logic holds. Thank
fair
you, Dominic.
Enough.
Thank you. I mean, listen, the Giants, as we said before, got Barry Bonds, but it was in free agency. So you guys have benefited from some trades or moves over the years.
Yeah, they've won a lot of titles. But that is an interesting category when it comes to bad trades, because I think, you know, trading the legend, the guy that played their entire career there, you would think maybe could end his career with one team. Like, or do those qualify as bad trades? I know Knicks fans look at Patrick Ewing and trading him at the end of his career and being like, first of all, it was bad just basketball-wise.
That was a trade to Orlando?
To Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah, he traded him Seattle. They got Vin Baker back. That was a joke. But, like, there were a lot of things that went into why they did that that made it bad from just a basketball standpoint. But regardless of basketball, like, Patrick Ewing deserves to retire a Knick. Hakeem Olajuwon getting traded to the Raptors. I mean, come on. Hakeem Olajuwon, he should end with a Rocket. So there's those two where it's like, okay, maybe Willie Mays was, well past his prime. But what's it worth to trade him? Just keep him, let him retire, and then you move on after.
I mean, we've done that many times. Guys who ended their careers in the wrong uniforms. Joe Namath of the Ram. I was going to say OJ is a Niner. That doesn't count anymore.
Johnny Unitas with the Chargers.
Johnny Unitas with the Chargers. Emmitt is a Cardinal.
Jerry Rice playing with the
I was just
Seahawks.
Looking. I was actually just looking up, how did Rice leave the Niners, as a free agent or as a trade? It had to be a free agency, right?
Right, went to the Raiders, right?
He was released by the Niners in June 2001 and went to the Raiders, where he was very effective.
Yeah, he was great for the Raiders.
Him and kind of an older Tim Brown were really good. It's so funny. We keep coming back to that Super Bowl, the 2001 Super Bowl, which is not talked about a lot. When John Gruden took Tony Dungy's team and whooped on the Raiders, where Bear Robbins was missing, a lot of legendary players in that one. And it's a lot of Hall of Famers on that Tampa Bay team. I bet you know, Tampa Bay, we have to look through their history. The old Bucks felt like they were involved in a lot of lopsided trades.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but, you know, we mentioned Steve Young.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he got traded, you know, Tampa. But Tampa Bay also
traded. Second and fourth, yeah.
Yeah, Tampa also traded Doug Williams, who's a Bucks kind of. But, like, he did take him to the playoffs early in his career.
Yeah.
He ends up being, like, you know, a historical figure, being the first black quarterback to win Super Bowl.
He was not a bust at all. I mean, his numbers might look bad, but he took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the NFC title game. He was a very talented player. And the funny thing, too, is did he then get traded by Washington as well? I think he might have.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he had a very interesting career. I once, when he was an executive with Washington, I sat next to him in a game. He is one cool dude.
I can imagine.
He's got a great
history. Every time I see him, even now, when he does interviews and stuff, he seems like a great time.
He's laid back. Yeah. I would say that. Is he from, he's from the South somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's from Louisiana.
Yeah, he comes off as he takes his time, but he was a great quarterback. I'm thinking the way the Bucks built that awesome defense, they probably fleeced a couple. They had Warren Sapp fall because of the drug test.
Well, Simeon Rice, right? Yeah. Wasn't that a trade?
I think it was.
Yeah, because he was in Arizona. I don't think they signed him.
Yeah.
That's another bad trade. Simeon Rice was amazing for the Bucks and a guy who I think should be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, we want to hear your bad trades. The trade that your franchise did that keeps you up at night, much like I'm sure Dallas Maverick fans are going to feel about Luka Doncic for years to come. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's bad trade day right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple.
for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ filling in for Maggie today. I get to look over the other side of the glass and see Manny and EJ dancing. Now I'm on the same side with EJ. Got Andrew running the board, bopping up and down, Ryan in the back. Kind of everybody getting into it on Bad Trade Thursday here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. It's a good trade having EJ in the seat for Maggie. That's not good because we all miss Maggie.
Of course.
Maggie's awesome, except Manny, who's mad at her because she won't tell him where she's going.
She's in Dagestan.
Sure.
I just love this little subplot to the Maggie and Perloff Show this week, that Maggie openly refused to tell Manny where she's going in front of the entire newsroom.
That was wild. I still think that she misunderstood the question.
Nope. I don't think so. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're talking about bad trades in sports off the Luka Doncic trade. Let's go to Emilio in Arizona, who might have the granddaddy of all the bad trades. Emilio, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about Babe Ruth being traded from the Red Sox to the Yankees for a mere, $100,000?
Yeah, that came up last night. Mavs coach Jason Kidd said the Luka trade is being compared to Babe Ruth. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that Babe Ruth was making millions, but again, for $100,000, and then that started the whole curse of the Bambino thing with the Red Sox.
Yeah, it didn't work out well. Thank you, Emilio.
No, not at all.
I think that is the all-time worst trade still because, I mean, there's some bad trades, but when a trade has a curse, that's not good.
No, it's not. And I think when we talk about the worst trades of all time, we almost have to say since Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really hard to top that one, right?
Yeah, I think this Luka trade could end up being the Babe Ruth. No, I don't think so, because I don't think he's going to win. I don't know how many. Did Babe win 10 in New York? A lot.
All of them?
All right. Let's go to Matt in New York. Matt, what do you got for bad all-time trades?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, bud.
Yeah, so I'm a Bills fan, and I can recall when we traded Pico Alonso fresh off of an ACL tear straight up for Shady McCoy in his prime.
I love that trade. As an Eagles fan.
Oh, yeah, so a couple seasons later, we break a 20-year playoff curse, and he's basically our bell cow, and Kiko's basically played 11 total games for the Eagles before he's bouncing around the league. So that was definitely a pretty significant trade for us.
Okay, but again, running backs are weird, though, because I think the Eagles were already sort of devaluing the position and didn't want to pay LeSean McCoy. They were ahead of the curve in a little bit.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, P.A. kid, kind of like one of the all-time franchise greats.
Yeah,
I think, I mean, you know, it was kind of like a rough, I felt like it was a rough look and trade for those guys.
Where's he from originally? He's from the west side.
From Florida, I think.
Oh, Shady's not, well, he went play to Pitt. So, yeah. Oh, he's not from Western Pennsylvania?
Well, I think he's from Pennsylvania, yeah. But I know he played high school, I believe, in Florida.
I thought he was one of those Western PA kids because of Pitt. Being from Pitt has nothing to do with Philadelphia. Some people think that in Pennsylvania, the two are neighbors and they're very far away.
Yep.
Okay, that was a good one. Let's go to Nadal, our buddy in Dallas. Nadal, was it fun to watch Luka come back, or was that kind of painful as a reminder last night?
Good morning, bro. Yeah, EJ, how's it going, bro? It was fun because first and foremost, after moving from Kansas City to Dallas, I was a Luka fan, and I always will be. It was fun. It really was. And let me tell you the local sentiment down here, and I'll start by saying the local headline in the paper, it said, you know, Mavs fans did not welcome Luka back last night. They welcomed him back home.
Wow.
And I thought that was great. Clever wording. And that's what it was. You saw on TV standing ovation of 20,000 plus. And how funny and interesting, did you notice how Nico never moved from that tunnel?
Yeah.
Where, you know, but when he was in LA, when the Mavs played the Lakers in the LA, what did he do? Courtside, greeting and talking and mingling with the Lakers and everything. But at Dallas, no.
Yeah,
he's a marked man. He literally hired a highly armed security force to guard his home and him. That's how much he's hated here. And by the way, the video tribute, Perloff.
Yeah.
Since I'm your unofficial Dallas field reporter here.
Love it.
The local sentiment is it was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. And Luka crying, those were tears of not because, oh, you know, it's still an open wound.
Oh, he's disgusting still, that you traded him. The video tribute was fine. You didn't find the highlight.
Oh, yeah. No, the tribute itself, in of itself, is fine. It's just that...
Yeah, he didn't want to go.
The idea of doing it, and it's, you know, I don't know. Seeing his lower lip and chin shivering, it was gut-wrenching.
How about this, Nadal? Now that we're talking about this, and you bring up great points about how much... What if he pulls a LeBron going back to Cleveland, and someday Luka returns to Dallas?
With open arms, bro. With open arms. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even a native of Dallas, you know. But I'll say he'll be welcomed back with open arms.
All right.
You know?
Thank you, Nadal, our local beat reporter for Dallas. usually on the Cowboys, but we'll take some Mavericks reports.
Yeah, you will not get paid, Nadal, but we appreciate you.
I think you started the show, EJ, with a great point. This trade is so different than a lot of these because Luka didn't necessarily want to leave.
No, that's been very clear. Like, any thought that maybe Luka was unhappy or that maybe he was looking for his next destination, everything you saw last night was the contrary, right? It was him seeing this tribute, seeing the love from the Dallas Maverick fans and being moved to tears. And to me, if you're a sports fan, that's what you want. You want your athletes to have the connection to the fan base and to the city that Luka had, which makes this trade all the more dumbfounding, which is like, if this is a guy that was ride or die with you, why would you move him? You traded him for Anthony Davis, who, by the way, is a mercenary. Anthony Davis
said,
that's all, folks, to New Orleans. When he was about to get, when they were trying to sign him and keep him long term, he quit on the Pelicans. So the fact that they would trade for an older guy who's already shown that he will say sayonara to another city, when you have a young star in his prime who doesn't want to leave your city, doesn't want to leave your organization, it just makes it more ridiculous.
You know what actually adds injury to insult? Insult to injury?
There you go.
One of those.
The second one was good.
There was a great comment by Tim McMahon for ESPN, covers the NBA, covered the Mavericks, wrote a book on the Mavericks, and had to add a chapter because it was supposed to come out right at the time Luka was traded. So he's an insider. He brought up a good point. Last night was the night that Luka Doncic officially became a Laker because their team was there for him. They were so excited to see Luka have a big night. They were propping him up. I don't know what they were like energy-wise before, but there is no doubt he is incorporated in that team. You saw the love between him and LeBron.
Yep.
I kind of get that. I thought that was interesting. I think one of the most important things to win an NBA title is everybody plays as a team, and you seem to have that right now with L.A.
Yeah, and that's why this Laker team is going to be dangerous. And I thought J.J. Redick, after the game, basically, you know, he said one of his coaches came up to him and said, this is going to be great for our group. He said,
yep,
us being able to support Luka in this moment and go through this with him is going to really help our team. I think they could not be more right, because now you look at the Lakers and how they've been playing, and you have Luka Doncic, who it feels he's been up and down with the Lakers.
They're 16-10.
it hasn't been a straight through line with him. He's had some bad shooting nights. It feels like there was a lot of closure potentially for him last night. And if you get the Luka Doncic that was playing in the playoffs last year next to LeBron James, the sky's the limit. Anything is possible for the Lakers. And you came into the season when they, like you mentioned in a great point earlier in the show, it was Bronny. That was the story of the Lakers season.
Oh, my God.
What is Bronny James? There was no talk about championship or what you could do in the playoffs. Ha! Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Like, what the Nuggets have done to them for the last 2 years? Like, that wasn't a conversation. Now the conversation is entirely different, and they could thank the Dallas Mavericks for that.
So what do you think of the Mavericks? The organization embraces return. They put T-shirts on seats that said, and I quote, Havala za vse. Now, Manny, you speak Dagestani, right? Do you know what Havala, no, I'm just kidding, Slovenian, Havala za vse means?
Yeah, so being the only person who speaks multiple languages on this show, I do believe that means thank you very much.
Close.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you
correct.
Did.
Thank you so much. You know, the Mavs, it feels like everybody, if you love the dude so much, why'd you trade him?
I'll be honest, that was the one thing about last night that I did not like. And there was some rumors, or not rumors, there was reporting that the Mavs tried to get some of the sponsorship deals that they had through Luka to be a part of last night. And it was Luka's team that had to come out and say, hey, we don't want any of that. Like, you're not going to make money off of you trading him. That's ridiculous. And that was the only thing I didn't like, because what we've seen since Luka left has been a smear campaign. There's no denying that.
Oh, about the hookah and the beer?
Yeah, it's that. All we've heard is all these things, because everybody's like, why would you trade Luka? And then all these leaks coming out of, he's not committed, he's no Kobe Bryant, he's fat, he likes hookah, he's drinking too much beer. Like, they have done everything they could to make people non-believe. We had a caller earlier today say, you guys are hyping up Luka too much. He's too fat and he smokes too much.
Yep.
Like, this guy is a five-time All-NBA player. He's been top five in MVP voting. He took them to the finals, took them to the Western Conference Finals. Like, this guy profiles as a legend. And, like, the Mavs have done everything they could to try to make him look bad since he left. Now you come back and it's, let's give out T-shirts and let's say, oh, how much we love you. It doesn't make any sense.
There's clearly different sides of the organization.
Sure.
That there's Nico and the basketball side. The business side probably want nothing to do with this deal. The funny thing is, they let this leak that he's two in a hookah and beer, and most of the young guys around this building were like, yes, that was a big positive for Luka.
It makes him look like more of a baller. Because, like, this guy is drinking beer and hookah, and he's putting up 40 on the Celtics and on, you know, these teams that can't stop him. You're like, how is he doing it?
As a resident young person of the show, that's awesome. That was rad.
With the hookah thing?
Oh, yeah.
Luka also, Larry Bird drank beer, by the way. Luka looked skinny last night. There's no doubt he's getting into the fitness culture of L.A., Southern California.
I think the fitness culture of LeBron, too.
Yeah, I got to tell you one thing. You do not want Luka to be too skinny. I'm going to tell you right now, greatest strength is he is one strong dude.
I agree.
He has got a base. He needs the fitness to be able to last through these seven-game series, but I don't want to see him get ripped. I mean, he has no definition. He's like country strong, like LeBron, not LeBron, like Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Larry Bird was skinny and never, I don't think he ever lifted weights, but he was as strong as anyone fighting for a ball.
Jokic, too. He's got that country strong vibes as well.
Yeah, and I mean, he's gotten skinny and it's helped, but I don't want, Luka doesn't need to look like LeBron to be a great player. He's got something else going on.
No, not at all. Yeah, he's a tank. I mean, that's one of the most underrated parts of Luka. Why he's so hard to guard.
That's why you can't get to his dribble.
Right, because he's slow, but it doesn't matter because he can just keep you on his hip, and you're not getting past him. Like, you're just not going to be able to stop him because he can just move right through you. He's so strong. And I don't think he's a guy where you're going to say, okay, he needs to be playing at 215. He's always going to be 230, 235, 240. But you just want it to be not so doughy, right? You want it to be a lot more compact so that he's not dealing with the soft tissue injuries he's dealing with. You know, he had the calf earlier this year. He had a knee and calf thing during the playoffs last year, which is why it was so remarkable he was playing so well. He's been dealing with these kind of injuries. You think, okay, you get in a little better shape, you won't deal with that.
You're getting way too scientific. I just want the dude to keep doing the hookah and the beer thing. All right, we got headlines with Andrew Bogish, of course, who is a huge fan of. Are you a huge fan of? You ever partaken in the hookah, the beer?
Beer, yes. Hookah, no.
Okay.
Was. And certainly not together.
Come on, man.
A quick reminder.
A night out on Dykeman with us.
Yeah, Bogues, you feel like you'd have a great time. I'd be a total buzzkill. You don't want me anywhere near that, but first of all, the germs of the hookah, and because I've seen people
get past that. I would love
to see Manny take Bogus to Dykeman. Do some hookah.
Explain what's Dykeman.
So Dykeman is uptown New York. It's a very heavily Dominican, Caribbean neighborhood, and it's a lively party, awesome neighborhood, and you do a great night in Dykeman in the summer. You go out, do some hookah, drinks a little bit, then go to the games. Dykeman's become kind of the new Rucker Park here in New York. I played at Dykeman when I was young as a kid, and it's a lively atmosphere. NBA players come out and play sometimes.
Yeah.
I think Bogus and Manny on a guy's trip to Dykeman would be awesome.
But let's go, roommates. I'll be Josh Hart. You'll be Jalen Brunson.
Well, I mean, you didn't even have to say that. That was given.
Right. A quick one, that Jason Kidd did not get traded to the Lakers alongside Luka. Kidd is still the Mavs head coach.
It was incredible. The fans were great. The tribute was great. Luka's performance was great. It was great.
Kidd might have enjoyed Luka's return to Dallas a little too much. His team lost this game 112-97 with Luka hanging a season-high tying 45 points on the Mavs. With those fans also cheering almost every Luka basket. And by the way, the NBA did Luka a solid yesterday, rescinding the second tech he got in Oklahoma City, the one where he said he was yelling at a fan, not the officials. Last night's Lakers,
JT Orr, by the way.
Lakers win clinched them a top six seed, so that's no play-in. They remain third this morning in the West, a one-game lead on the Nuggets, who won their first game since firing Michael Malone, 124-116 in Sacramento.
Fashion question for all people here. Do you guys like Jason Kidd's clear glasses? I can't even watch a Mavs game without commenting on them. They're probably $2,000 glasses. I love them.
I love them. I want a pair. My wife has told me not to get them.
I have a pair of clear glasses.
Yeah.
But I have a pair. I just never wear them.
Yeah,
it didn't work for me.
Yeah, my wife does not think I would look good in them either.
Yeah, I think you might. Andrew Bogus, if you're listening on radio, is a doppelganger, the exact identical twin of Quinn Ewers.
Who I'm not sure has clear glasses at all, let alone clear frames.
Well, he's young. He doesn't need them yet.
That's true. I didn't have glasses at 23.
Yes. And you are not a third-round pick. You're a first-round pick, Bogus.
Aren't you sweet?
That's nice.
Is that Manny laughing?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. No. Great to hear from you. The Warriors losing at the buzzer last night at home to the Spurs, 114-111. That drops Golden State into the play-in in the seventh spot for the moment. The Suns eliminated from all contention with a 125-112 home loss to the Thunder. The Magic clinched number 7 in the East with a 96-76 win over Celtic backups. And the Bulls handled the Heat, 119-111, for a one-game lead on Miami for 9th in the East. Today's draft visits include Shedeur Sanders in Pittsburgh and Abdul Carter with the Giants. Carter expected to meet with the Patriots on Monday. Then he will have visited all the top 4 teams in the draft and apparently has no other pre-draft visits scheduled.
If you want to watch a fun defensive lineman edge YouTube video, watch 3 minutes of Abdul Carter just killing Big Ten quarterbacks. He is fast and strong, and I think anyone's going to have trouble passing on him.
Yeah, he is good enough for the Giants, who have needed a quarterback for forever, to not take Shedeur Sanders.
Only a couple issues, foot issue, shoulder injury. That's a bit of a concern, but he hasn't run his 40 yet. He promised he would run on March 28th, I believe, which was Penn State's pro day. Did not run. Maybe that's the only flaw I can see.
The Milwaukee Brewers lost their first 4 games this season. They are 7-1 since after last night's 17-2 rout at Coors Field. Jackson Churio, a homer and 5 RBI. The Blue Jays 2-1 winners in 11 at Fenway.
Good.
And this is how the Guardians beat the White Sox 3-2.
Ground ball in the hole. It'll get through. Here comes the tying run. Throw to the plate by Kwan. He pulled up. He's going to be out at home. And the game is over. The Guardians will win by 1. I don't know what in the world happened. But Mike Tauchman never made it home. He got about halfway between third and home and just couldn't get there.
That's from Cleveland TV. When I first watched it, I thought Tauchman did what I used to do when I blew a layup in basketball, pretend I hurt my ankle.
So every time you would drive?
What? Like 3 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
I made 3 out of 10.
Oh.
On a good day. So that's 7 times I sprained my ankle.
You went to the ankle? Why don't you just do what everyone does and do, my palms were sweaty. Like,
no,
I do have jump shots all the time.
Oh, no, jump shots, fine.
Yeah, but even layups too. You could be like, you wipe your hands on your shorts, be like, oh, that was clearly my hands are sweaty. That's why.
No, I went next level. Like I blew my Achilles on the way up for the lay-in. Like, that's why it didn't go
in. And then with the MRI showed that you had an Achilles that was fully intact.
We had a lot of MRIs. My mom got really angry with those.
I saw Jackson Hayes got stripped last night and was doing the shaking his hand thing down the court, showing the official that he got hit in the hand.
You guys remember when Randy Moss beat Darrell Revis deep in a game and Revis pulled his hamstring up. Then Randy one-handed it, right. And that became a whole thing. Randy thought he was faking the injury.
What did happen to this?
So this Mike Tauchman, one time Yankee, right?
That's right.
He was injured, man. Just came back from this, and he seemed to, as he's rounding third, something pops in his right leg, hamstring maybe. So he was legit hurt. That's why
it cost him the game.
That's why he didn't score.
Oh,
and that's how they lose 3-2.
Yeah, bottom of the ninth inning, two outs, and you get hurt.
I'm watching this play. This was kind of a questionable send anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if he was going to be safe if he could have run full speed all the way. And it would have been the last out of the game regardless. But yeah, he definitely, by the time he's losing a leg on the way home, he's not scoring.
I think the third base coach, they're going to talk to him. Because, I mean, if he's already kind of already battling something, and I just watched the play. I mean, this was going to be bang, bang. There's no way this was an obvious send. And it's to end the game, it's, you know, two outs. I don't, why would you send him there?
He's not exactly Ichiro Suzuki.
And by the way, round one of the Masters is about 90 minutes old right now, and the lead is 2 under par. 3 golfers are there right now very early in this first round. One of them is Zach Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, who won last year, tees off in about 35 minutes from right now.
Do any of the golfers that I sprinkled some money on, are any of them doing well?
You have to run down all 12 of them again.
I got Neiman, I got Hovland, I got someone named Robert McIntyre, just because I don't know much about him. Lucas Glover, Phil Mickelson, at like 1,001.
Mickelson's not started yet.
Brian Harman, who I saw do very well in a tournament a couple weeks ago, is and Wyndham Clark is 80-1. Put a buck on him. Tell you guys, you got to root for my guys. We're going to win breakfast. And I put for you, Bogues, because I know you didn't bet on this, Will Zalatoris, $5, 55-1. We're getting more than breakfast.
All right, let's roll.
We're getting Manny a car.
This sport needs something.
Well, I mean,
who
I think
are these guys?
I think it's I was going to launch out. I mean, this tournament is 1,000% about Rory McIlroy, because he's been on fire all winter into spring. And I know Scheffler is a big name too, but I think this is Rory. Can you just picture the drama? Rory's never won there. 18th hole. You know what could happen. He has a putt to win it. Will he be able to make it? That would be great.
Right.
That'd be great drama.
That's what we want to see. Like, for me, Masters is all about Sunday. Like, I've followed through the first 2-3 days. Sunday's where we want to see. And we've seen Rory have some just devastating collapses lately. So everyone's running to him because he's played well. That kind of worries me. It's like, where is his head at?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I'll watch all the days at the Masters. And, of course, do you guys know what's going on in the Masters rap? That guy down in Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee. Do you guys know?
A Masters rap?
It's like a song. Oh, yeah. The guy for the Ringer, Chris Vernon, I think, does a rap every year. What's going on at the Masters?
I know who Chris Vernon is. I don't know what this part of him is, though.
He makes up a rap. It's unbelievable. I think it's him. And I apologize, because it's amazing. He makes up a rap that sums up the leaderboard every year. It is, and there's a mascot dancing in the background. You've never seen this? Doesn't ring
no.
a bell? Oh, it's going to be a treat.
According to the chat, Kaplan is a big fan of that.
It's going to be a treat for you tomorrow, Andrew Bogus.
He has one every day?
Every day. I don't know if his show is on every day. Chris Vernon, wildly talented.
Yeah.
Used to be at The Ringer. I'm not sure if he's still there. Has his own show. And it is the funniest thing you'll ever hear in your life.
I see something, Grind City Media, maybe is where he's at now.
Yeah. It's called What's Going On in Augusta, not What's Going On in the Masters. It's fantastic. We'll play it tomorrow. It's a wrap. Somehow he'll rhyme like Zalatoris with something. It's
yeah, Schauffele seems like a hard one.
Yeah. He'll rhyme DeChambeau with, I have no idea why, but it's incredible. It's the best part of the Masters. All right, coming up, more bad trades, but we also have a list that's causing a lot of controversy here. It is our friend Andy Staples at On3, renowned college football writer, ranks the top 10 quarterbacks for next college football season. And there is one notable guy who slid. We'll get into that next. Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ sitting in for Maggie, who is on a well-deserved vacation. So yesterday, a list came out. It's kind of list season, at least for football. Andy Staples, great college football writer, former co-worker of mine at Sports Illustrated, good friend, really smart when it comes to college football. He has his top 10 quarterbacks for next season in college football. Now, the list caused a lot of controversy online, you'd expect with this kind of list. It wasn't necessarily who had a number one. Let's just go through it here. He had Florida quarterback DJ Lagway, who I don't think he's even turned 19 yet. Former number one overall recruit, super stud, at number one. A lot of people didn't agree with that. EJ, I think you're a little dubious.
Yeah.
Feels high.
Good freshman year, but still a young player. I don't know about that.
He is the truth, though. I'm a big DJ Lagway fan. Number two, South Carolina's Lenora Sellers. Again, I mean, he's fantastic running, and he's had some big wins last year. Feels a bit high. Cade Klubnik, number three, Clemson. Now here's where you get really controversial. He has Arch Manning at number four, and a lot of people on social media are like, how can you put Arch at number four? But EJ, I think you could see that.
Four is fine. I think for me the big issue was he kind of took two guys that a little more unproven. Like, I mean, Lagway is very unproven.
Yep.
And Sellers, awesome athlete, awesome runner. But in the best game South Carolina had, it wasn't like they scored a bunch of points. They were kind of a defensive team.
Yeah.
And he showed some clutch ability. That Clemson win was awesome on the road. But again, that was like them hanging around and him kind of doing a little mini Vince Young at the end of that game to win. I would go with more of the pocket passers. So to me, like Klubnik, Nussmeier.
Yeah.
I think even someone like John Mateer, who's shown that he could be a dual threat. Yeah. He's a little bit more of a better passer than I think Sellers is. I would have had those guys a lot higher. Were you surprised that Drew Aller came in at seven?
Well, Drew Aller, another former number one overall recruit, I'm not that surprised. Honestly, two names who I think will end up higher than they are. I think Sam Levin, number eight, will end up higher. I think I heard a rumor that the NFL is in love with Sam Levin. We saw him last year at Arizona State. I think he's draft eligible this year, so we'll see. And then number nine, Darian Mensah, a name that people do not know, but the market spoke this offseason. Got an $8 million deal from Duke. He is going to be fire. And then Carson Beck at 10. So you're a Miami Hurricanes fan.
Yeah.
Where do you see Carson Beck realistically fitting into this list?
Yeah, I thought Carson Beck should have been a lot higher, right?
Because give me the names who you easily passing him over.
I think he's better than Levitt. I'm not as high on Levitt as you are.
Yes.
I think he is better than Aller. And Mateer is tough. I wanted Mateer to be a Miami Hurricane, so it's kind of hard for me to say.
Father Cam Ward.
I think he could have been in the 6 or 7 range. Because this is a guy, at the end of the day, did almost win an SEC, did win the SEC last year, even though he didn't finish that game. Like, he's won a lot of games, and he has his flaws. He gets turnover prone. I get that. But he has done a lot in college football. I think for him to be ranked so low behind guys who we haven't seen him much from Arch Manning or DJ Lagway. And Mateer, you said, is kind of an unknown coming from Washington State.
Yeah.
Like, this guy played in Georgia. This guy was playing. We saw him in big-time games. And, yes, sometimes he didn't play well. But, no, but he had some big games, too.
But come on.
We can't act like every game he was throwing three picks. That's
but you
true.
Can't ignore there's this sort of aura around Carson Beck, some of the negative body language.
Yeah.
There's a lot about Carson Beck that people just don't like.
Yeah. I get it. And some of that, he's had a whole situation in his personal life that has been high profile as soon as he got to Miami. Yeah. So that he's had some issues. I get that. But I'm just talking about the production and what we've seen over the course of several years.
Yep.
In terms of just pure quarterback play, I think 10 was a little low. Our friend Bud Elliott had him, didn't have him in the top 10, which I thought was surprising as well.
I'm looking at Heisman odds, by the way, another indicator. We're running out of time. I just want to get in some of these. They have Arch Manning's number one, Garrett Nussmeier's number two, Klubnik's three, Jeremiah Smith number four. See, I like that. Then Drew Aller, then Nico Iamaleva, not on that list.
Another guy who, I mean,
Tennessee.
Some of these guys I think are cursed with us seeing them too much. I think we saw so much of Nico last year. We've seen so much of Carson Beck that now we're taking kind of like the Arch Manning's a little bit of an unknown, right? Lagway, a little bit of an unknown. Mateer, unknown. So sometimes we're kind of falling in love with those guys.
Yep.
When the guys who have played a lot in big-time situations, we've seen their highs and their lows, we're kind of leaning on the negative.
No Dylan Raiola on this list, too, in Nebraska.
No Avery Johnson from Kansas State, who I thought definitely would have made the list.
And Julian Sayin, Ohio State. That is, if he gets a starting job, he's a big-time recruit driving a Ferrari. All right, thank you for all the calls today. That was great. Big thanks, of course, Andrew Kaplan. Andrew Scarpa.
Garpachi.
Thanks to the listeners. Maggie Perloff Show.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.